Hello and welcome to the Car Resource Podcast. Listen and be blessed.
Hey, welcome to the Car Resource Podcast. I have here with me my friend, Ethan Bragg. Who is here with me, such a profound minister of the gospel who really is passionate about the things of God. I particularly am inspired by his the way he carefully and meticulously handles the scriptures and meditates on the scriptures. And one thing that caught my attention was one day I saw him and I saw how he painted his Bible, and it shows he had spent a lot of time, you know, reading his Bible. And I was so inspired by that to create rapport with him and get to know more about him. And getting closer to him, I realized he's someone who genuinely loves God and spends time, you know, with the scriptures, spends time in serving God. And so I figured he's someone who would be able to learn a lot from his experience as touching this subject matter that we'll be starting in our new series, Your Quiet Time with God. And Ethan, it's so great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Victor. I'm excited to talk about the word and get into it. So if you guys don't know, Victor is an awesome dude. We've gotten to meet at college this year, and just a man full of joy and loves God. Yeah, right. Fun guy.
Yeah.
So glad to be here.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ethan. I would like us to pray. Father, we thank you for this relationship. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for the word that is going to be coming to us this moment. We thank you because you are going to use us as vessels to be a blessing to younger generation and to everyone that will be hearing our voice, hearing all that we'll be saying here today. Lord, we ask that you fill our mouths with your word and that you express all that your will is and all that your heart desire is through us today, as touching whatever it is that we're going to be saying, as touching this subject matter that we'll be talking about today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Ethan. And just for introduction's sake and for just to form like a good background, we're going to be talking about your quiet time with God. And I know that the quiet time is like a major, major aspect of our relationship with God. But many people will have little or no understanding or pay little or no attention to this. And like, there's really no much understanding of what it is. So speaking of like quiet time, what's the quiet time? What does it mean when I say, oh, I'm observing my quiet time with God? What does that really mean?
I think quiet time is kind of this vague term that I think people kind of interpret differently within the church.
Yeah.
I think there's other words for it as well, like devotional time or just Bible reading time, I guess whatever you want to call it. But
yeah,
I think it really all boils down to personal alone time with God and having that personal relationship with him. So I think it looks different specifically for each person on like what that looks like and how they personally connect with God.
Yeah.
For me, though, I normally just call it quiet time. And for me and my relationship with God, I mean, it's the foundational thing in my relationship with God. And for me especially, like, I love just reading scripture and, you know, letting God's word speak to me directly, and just worshiping and praying. Those are really the three pillars of it for me.
Yeah.
And I think it's just I think there's something different and powerful when it's just you alone with God and he's speaking to you directly, rather than when you're at church, when you're hearing God speak through a pastor or other people.
Yeah.
I think those things are awesome, and I think they're necessary to be a part of the body of Christ, because that's what God's word commands us. But at the end of the day, I'm really passionate about this, because I think people's lives are most drastically transformed when they have a large amount of alone time with God, and they allow him to transform themselves through that time. And just through seeing people's walk with the Lord and people growing with God, I've noticed that that's kind of the common denominator of, like, people that are people who just experience, like, incredible growth. Like, they're really passionate about alone time with Jesus, and I've just seen how that's transformed their lives. I've seen how it's transformed my own life, and that's why I'm really passionate about it.
Wow. Interesting things to note from your insights so far. But transitioning into, like, now we have understanding of, like, what quiet time is, and you made a lot of points about, like, hearing God directly, being alone with God, and how that this has transformed you, and, you know, transformed a lot of people that you have seen who take this quiet time or devotion time or Bible reading time seriously. What is the requirement? Because when we talk about, like, for example, hearing from God, a lot of people, like, even unbelievers, like, spend time to read the Bible, and all they can bring out of it is points to use to, like, argue against Christianity. And so what is the requirement for you to be able to hear from God directly? Do you have to have received Jesus into your heart? Do you have to be born again? Do you have to be a child of God? Or is just being born into a Christian family enough, you know, to be the prerequisite to be able to come into this experience that you mentioned? Or does it have to do, like, with the Spirit of God in our hearts, you know, and as a result of us being children of God, as a result of us, like, receiving Jesus into our hearts and being saved?
Yeah, I think anybody can read the scriptures and get something out of it, but I think they're especially intended for believers to be read by believers, so that they can be built up and encouraged. And I know God's word says it's alive, and that means that I think it's John 1. I could be wrong, but it talks about how I can't remember the word of John, but it talks about how, God, it's God's word in the flesh. And
that is where it became flesh.
Like, this is God in writing. And, you know, when we take in God in writing, he's going to speak to us. But a lot of the scriptures are very complex and hard to understand, and, like, difficult writing. And even as believers, we're not always going to understand everything we read, and we could read something 100 times and still not understand it. So I think it's really important as a believer, when you go into this time of, like, reading the scriptures and spending time with God, that beforehand you ask him and pray to him that he would reveal things to you, and that his Holy Spirit would highlight certain things and point out certain things to make what you're reading more evident, clear, and applicable to your life. I remember when I first came to know the Lord, I was kind of on this mission just to read the Bible, just to say I've read it. And I read through so much of it over, like, the course of one summer.
Wow.
And I hardly understood anything. So it was kind of like, from afar, from a surface level, it looked like I was really good Christian. Like, I was reading my Bible, I was doing it, but, like, really, I wasn't really comprehending anything I was reading. I wasn't really getting a whole lot out of it. But when I really slowed down after that and prayed to God, hey, I actually want to, like, understand your word, and, like, I want to know how this applies to my life. When I slowed down and, like, started to bring the Holy Spirit into reading the scriptures, that's when it spoke to me a lot more. And going back to your question about like is this for anyone to read? I think yeah, like anyone can read it. I think it's going to speak to believers more who have the Holy Spirit within them, because it's God's Spirit and God's Word working together. It's going to speak to us. But I still think a non-believer can read the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit can reveal God through those scriptures. But I don't know. I've heard stories too of like people trying to debunk Christianity through the Bible, and then God would reveal themselves to that person while reading the scriptures. So
Yes, that's true.
yeah, so I think it all, at the end of the day, I think the biggest thing is inviting the Holy Spirit into reading the scripture. God can speak. If we read one sentence with the Holy Spirit, we're going to get more out of that than reading a whole book without the Holy Spirit. And I think that's
Exactly.
a super important part of it, especially to someone who's wondering, like, where do I even start reading the scriptures? Like, how do I even get into it? I think just inviting God into that and allowing Him to speak to you allows you to really start anywhere at any pace and hear from God with that.
Thank you. That's it. Like, beautiful insights to the question. It's really about inviting the Holy Spirit and getting him to reveal the scriptures to you. And I really like took note of the aspect where a lot of people read the Bible. They'd be like, oh, I've read the Bible like from cover to cover before, and it's kind of like a way to say, oh yeah, I'm a believer, oh I'm a serious Christian, yeah, I've read through the scriptures a lot of times, and when they do that, they leave out the essence of scriptures, which is that it should apply to their lives. Okay, it should correct, we should reprove, because he says in his First Timothy, or yeah, it should be First Timothy 3:16, that says all scriptures have been given, by God, by the inspiration of God, and they've been given for correction, for reproof, and in righteousness, and instruction in righteousness, and how that the scriptures are supposed to actually apply to our lives, and are supposed to actually point out things to our life, and there's this life that comes to scriptures. And so that brings me to, before I ask this one, from what you've said, I can infer that one thing that you do majorly in your quiet time is reading scriptures, right? And so from what you've said also, it means that you prioritize approaching God's word sincerely, and hearing what the word, like what the word of God really has to say, to you, as touching circumstances around you, and touching like your character, as touching your future, as touching your past, as touching your present, and what have you. So my question is, what should be the priority, like when I'm in my quiet time and I have my Bible in front of me and I want to hear from God, what should be my priority?
Again, it's I don't know if I have a specific answer for that, but a scripture that comes to mind is I don't know the exact scripture, but I know it's in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it talks about how there's a time for joy, there's a time for mourning, there's a time for weeping, and a time for dancing, and it goes through all of these. And I think every day we're going to have different emotions and different views on life. And I think regardless of how we're feeling that day, it's always a day we can go to God and bring those to Him. And there's some days where I go to God and I'm really happy and I just want to worship Him and I just want to play guitar for hours and sing.
Wow,
And there's
interesting.
other days where I'm just like upset and I want to just pray and just listen to God and hear what He has to say. And I don't really think there's like a formula going into it. I don't think there's like, I need to spend this much time in prayer, this much time reading my Bible. I need to do it in this order. I don't really think there's any of that, because that's just religious in nature. And it's all about like a personal relationship with God. Like, if you have like a personal relationship with someone else. Like there's not like that formula you always follow when you're hanging out with them. You know, some days you hang out, some days you just do something more fun, some days you do something more chill. It kind of just depends on the day.
Yeah.
I think it's really all about learning
mm-hmm.
about that personal relationship with God. And I really don't think there's a right or wrong way to that. I'm sorry, it's a vague answer, but I think it just kind of depends on.
Yeah, like that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense because we should be very careful not to tilt towards, not to forget that Christianity is not just a religion. Like, it's more about our personal relationship with God. It's more about having a fellowship with God, hearing from God, and you made a very important point as touching not being fixated, but being flexible about how we approach, you know, our time with God and our fellowship with God. Which this brings me to the next question to ask: like, is there a specific time of the day that is best to have your quiet time? What's your take on that? Because some people feel, oh, you should have it like when you wake up in the morning. Some people feel, oh, you should have it as you go. Some people feel, oh, you should have it when you're asleep or when you're about to go to sleep and that's go to bed. So what's your perspective on this?
Yeah, I think the time of day is kind of something that's been pretty fluid throughout my walk with God. It's kind of changed a lot. I remember when I first started reading the scriptures, I was, I think I was 16.
Wow.
16 or 17.
Okay.
And it was like over the summer and, you know, I'd work in the evening. So like I'd wake up and then spend the morning on my balcony, just reading my Bible for like an hour or whatever every day. And it was a nice consistent routine and I really liked it and I really grew a lot from it. But like, as I got to school, like every semester would change based on my class schedule. And like sometimes I'd be up really early morning, spending time with God. Sometimes I wouldn't be able to late at night. And honestly, there's some days where I just didn't have time to, or some days I'd have to squeeze it in at lunch. But I'd say now I'm kind of at a point, I have a kind of a wacky work schedule. So I'm completely off of work some days, and then other days I'm at work the whole day. And the days I'm off work, I usually like to do it right away in the morning, just because it's kind of at a point in the day where the worries of the world aren't cluttering my mind yet, and I can just focus on that. And when I'm at work, though, like I'm usually busy from like the morning time until the evening, and then my only time to spend with God is like at night when it's really quiet. So it kind of just depends on your routine and your schedule, and I don't think there's any wrong or right time to do it. It's kind of just a preference of what you like and what time of the day you feel like you're getting the most out of it, and just what you're able to do. I'd say any time is better than no time with God. So
Wow, that's a good way to end it. Any time is better than no time. it's really about being conscious of wanting to, because really it's a relationship, and when your relationship is based on love, you know, when your relationship is based on your love for God, you are really committed to, like, your heart is just going to be there. You're just going to always like think about God. You're always going to think about, oh, I have to talk to God. And it's about really carrying that presence all along. It's about really carrying that mindset and fellowship, you know, along. You know, even Jesus Christ, we see some places in scriptures that say that Jesus Christ, you know, woke up early in the morning to, you know, secrete himself to go and talk to God. It doesn't necessarily mean that happens in his life every day. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to go out, you know, and go out of the house, like go on a prayer walk early in the morning at 5 a.m. every day to get to talk to God and stuff like that. And so that brings me to you as an individual, because I know you work and you're busy. You're a busy man. and then you have a lot on your table. And so, how do you, what keeps you going? How are you still so passionate about, still maintaining that communication, still finding out time to read your scriptures, still finding out time to talk to God, to pray to Him in your quiet time, in your personal devotion? How, what keeps you going? What's driving you?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's something I personally want to learn from.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, when I first started doing it, it kind of felt like a chore, and I really had to push myself to spend time with God. But I think it's one of those things that as you do it more, you love it more. And like as you spend more time with God, you're like, oh my gosh, like I love this. Like it there's nowhere else I'd rather be right now than here with God. And I think just realizing over time, like the fruit that comes from spending time with him, like it makes me way more joyful and happy to like spend time with him than to prioritize other things over that. And I think it's just something that like with time I've come to understand and really know, like if I have an option to spend time with God or maybe go do something else, depending on what it is, and if and you're just listening to God and being obedient to like what he's telling me to do in that moment, like I don't know, I just think when I choose to spend time with God, like it just makes me feel way more joyful. And Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, and all those. And I just feel all those things like when I'm spending time with him. And just another thing too that drives me is just the scripture that talks about it's in John 15 talking about abiding in God and how he's the vine and the branches. And similar to like how a fruit grows, like if a fruit is just a branch but it's not connected to any vine that gives it nutrients, that branch and the fruit is going to wither and it's going to die. It's not going to be good for anything. And I've seen that with my own life too. Like I've realized that I really can't do anything if I'm not abiding in God, if I'm not spending time with him. And if I claim to be a Christian but I spend no time with my creator, with God, and I'm not bearing any fruit to show that I'm a Christian, my whole walk with God's kind of pointless. It doesn't really stand for anything. And there's been times where I've tried to live for God without actually abiding in him, without spending time with him, and I fail and I do really bad. And I think it's just been one of those trial and error things that like I've learned over time. Like I can't do this walk alone. I can't do it without the help of God, without his spirit, and without being encouraged by him. And to me, what drives me is the realization that it's a necessity in my life. It's not an option to spend time with God. Similar to like if like to like a married couple, like one person isn't gonna say, man, this relationship's really gonna flourish if I just spend time alone. Like they need to spend time together, It really is more simple than we make it out to be. And I think it's really all about, if I want to live a life that glorifies God and honors him, I got to spend time with him to figure out how to do that. And I think I've in no way been like perfect in my abiding time throughout my walk with God. It's been a lot of learning experiences and a lot of trial and error, but I've realized how important it is and how necessary it is just over the years. And like when I'm not with God, like I'm not doing as well, and I'm just not feeling as great. I'm living a more sinful life, and it's just not the life I want to live. That's why I need God, and I need to spend time with him.
Wow, that's profound. You said something very I would like to also like portray on that, and it's a good point, prioritizing your time with God over trying to live for God. And by extension, when you begin to prioritize activities like working in church, stuff like that, subgroup meetings and things like that, and you prioritize working for God over actually fellowshipping with God and being with God, then it becomes an issue. It becomes an issue and something that a lot of Christians do that are wrong. And I like the perspective you talked from, which is perspective of the vine and the branch. And when you don't abide in the branch, you're not able to bear fruit. Okay, John 15. And just it's just an issue of not putting the cart before the horse, but letting the horse run, letting the horse carry the cart along. Then so how has spending time with God, like over the years, like how has spending time with God affected your productivity as a Christian, your fruitfulness as a Christian? Has it enhanced it, and how what lessons can you draw from that towards us prioritizing being with God over working for God, or just doing activities, we're just trying to live for God?
Yeah, I think I've definitely seen a lot of fruit from spending time with God. The fruit of the Spirit are just way more evident in my life the days I spend time with God compared to the days I don't. And this is kind of something I wanted to touch on as well is like I honestly feel that spending time alone with God is like it shouldn't really be a question of if I'm going to do it or not. It should just be a matter of how. Like in the scriptures, we see so many times like Jesus went away from his disciples to be with the Father in private to pray with him. You know, we're called to follow that example that Jesus set. And if we're trying to do that, I think we need to really pay attention to how Jesus lived his life and do the same and retreat to a special place where we can just be with the Father alone. And some other scriptures I found, let's see here. I know in Proverbs several times it says like write my commands on the tablet of your heart, which means like know my commands, know my word, and know it so well to a point where it's like ingrained in your heart, where it's a part of you, where like you can't help but just be obedient to God's commands. And I think a frustration that a lot of Christians have is that like it's hard to follow God, it's hard to remember everything that we need to do, and like as we spend time with Him. Reading the scriptures and like filling our mind and our soul with the scriptures, like those things will just come up naturally. Like when I'm spending time with God, like God will, the Holy Spirit will just bring to mind like so many scriptures that are so relevant in that moment. That just help me live the life that glorifies Him more. And then another scripture is Colossians 3:16 that says, "The word of Christ must dwell in us richly." So it's saying the word of Christ must dwell in us. It's not, it should. It's not saying the word of Christ, it'd be cool if it dwelt in you. No, it's saying like it must dwell in you richly. And I think it's really a foundational thing as a Christian to know the word and to spend time in it and to really make it a part of how we think and like how we make our opinions and decisions. And yeah, I think when we know those scriptures in our life and our heart. And we're always thinking about them and meditating on them. I think naturally we're just going to see more fruit in our life. We're naturally going to live a life that glorifies God more. And it's going to become way easier. Like it's way easier to just live for God when we're just spending time with Him. And working from a place of abiding in Him.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Ethan. So, that brings me to ask, like, I'm curious, what do you do? Like, have you ever had situations or scenarios where you didn't feel like having your quiet time? You didn't feel like having your personal devotion with God? And what did you do in such situations?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I still face that struggle pretty much every day, like at least on a weekly basis. Especially at work when I'm like, when I'm at home, it's easier for me. Like right away in the morning, like yeah, let's just do it. I got nothing else going on. But at work, when it's like a long day and I'm drained and I just want to like sit on the couch and watch TV, you know, sometimes I really got to push myself to read scripture. And there's sometimes where I brushed it off and I just did what I felt like doing in the moment. And, you know, I don't really know what I missed out on, but I'm sure I missed out on a lot. But I know there's also times where I decided to put away the distractions, even though it wasn't easy. And I spent time with God in that moment. Maybe I canceled other plans just to spend time with God. And God has spoken to me so strongly in moments like those. It's just incredible. And I think the thing that helps us get by moments like that, helps us get past that temptation of not wanting to spend time with Him, I think it's just that having that trust that God will show up when we need Him there. Well, that when we take time out of our day to be with God, He's going to meet us there. I think it's just a trust thing, and with over time, like we know that God's going to show up every single time. He's never going to hide this from us, and He's more than happy to give His Spirit to anyone who just asks and who seeks it and pursues it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you for that response. So for someone who's just starting out, you know, he's still like unstable with his consistency in like his relationship with God and fellowship and spending time with his quiet time, you know, and his devotion with God, what would you advise, you know, that kind of person, you know, because then imagine a scenario, someone who is just coming up in Christ and he skips, you know, his quiet time or he just nudges it off and he begins to feel remorse about it. And so should he like wait till another time to should he like procrastinate and say, oh, okay, I'm gonna try and do it tomorrow morning? Or should he right there, right that instant, just reconcile and just pour his heart out to God and just start to talk to God? Or what do you advise that kind of person who is still like just coming up with his walk with God and is not yet stable, you know, in his consistency with his quiet time? So it's like 2-in-1 question. So what would you advise that kind of person that will help him, you know, have more consistency in his quiet time? And the second question is for someone who, of course, is just coming up and then he missed his quiet time, for example, and he's feeling bad about it. What would you advise that he does about it? Should he just like procrastinate and say, okay, I'll do better tomorrow morning when I wake up, or I'll do better like before I sleep tonight? Or should he just like go right there and just go to God right there that instant? What do you advise that? It's just like 2-in-1 questions.
Yeah, I feel that like there can be kind of a lot of pressure as a new believer, like getting into the Word, and like a lot of pressure to read a certain amount every day and to be extremely consistent with it. Yeah. But I think we need to be careful with that, because like if we make it where we start to condemn ourselves for missing just like one day, I think that can really easily cross that line into like religiousness and take away from the relationship aspect of it. So
yeah,
I'd say like if you miss a day, it's not the end of the world. I mean, like I miss days all the time. And does God love me any less for that? I don't think so. But like if I feel that conviction that I need to be spending more time with Him, that's when I go to that place with God. And I think new believers too can feel overwhelmed, feeling that they have to read a certain amount every day. But I really don't think there's any like, there's no like scripture quota we need to meet for the day. Like I think it's definitely okay to start small and just like work your way into the scriptures. Even in my walk now, there's some days where I only have time for maybe one proverb, and that's all I have time for the day. But if that's what I can get, I'll take it. And if that's the only time I have to do it, I'll try to do it. If I miss a day, my mindset isn't, man, I got to beat myself up. It's just like, okay, let's try it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
go back at it. And same thing like with any relationship. Like if we can't hang out with someone one day, it doesn't mean our relationship is over. You know, it's just like, oh well, we'll figure out another time to do it. Obviously, we should really desire to be with our Father and really desire to spend time with God. And I think that should be a priority relationship in our life. But I think at the end of the day, like if people are beating themselves up over missing a day, you know, everyone's gonna miss a day. And it happens. Just try not to make it like try not to put yourself in a box of like I have to meet every single day and if I don't, I'm worthless. You know, that's not at all the case. It's all about doing it when you can, and it's all about personal relationships. So
So, from what you've like shared with us, like these are like beautiful lessons, you know, to learn from, you know, the things that you're sharing with us, you know, this moment. Thank God that Christianity is no longer like a monumental thing where we have to go to like a physical place before we can get to talk to God or get into like some sort of physical postures before we can get to talk with God. And that brings me to carrying God or carrying your quiet time all through your activities daily as much as you can, because you know Jesus was talking about praying in the secret and not being like the hypocrites who come out and just pray in the open so that others can see you. And that's really interesting how Jesus was really talking about praying to God in your heart, you know, and talking to God in your heart. And how so that brings me to ask, you know, when you how are you not able to restrict, you know, your devotion to God to just when you're free or to just when you're at home? You know, of course there will be times where you'll be prompted in your heart to like maybe just take a break from work, you know, just to fellowship with God, or just maybe to go to the bathroom and just go try and spend a little time, you know, with God. But how are you able to still carry that conversations that you're having with God in your heart? How are you still able to carry it on even as you drive, as you work in your place of work, as you know, or as you're in conversation with other people like your colleagues at work and stuff like that? How are you able to still carry that on, you know, in your heart and still continuing in fellowship with God? Or is it just supposed to stay and stop at, oh, I prayed today, I already spoke to God this morning? Is it supposed to be something that we carry on throughout a day?
Something that came to mind is, you know, when Jesus was crucified and the Holy Spirit came down to earth, there's this tabernacle where, like, in the centers where the Ark of the Covenant was, where like God's Spirit was housed, and just in that room. So only a select few people could go in there every once in a while to experience God's presence. But when Jesus died and the Holy Spirit came down, that curtain, which was feet thick, was torn in half, symbolizing that the Holy Spirit came to live on earth and dwell within the believers. So now we are, instead of that being a temple where the Holy Spirit's housed, us humans are temples where the Holy Spirit is. And that shows through God's word that no matter where we're at any given moment, if we're a believer, we have God's Spirit within us and we have that opportunity to fellowship with Him. And that's something I'm really trying to learn about is, you know, how do I carry God's presence with me throughout my day as strongly as I do during like my retreating time with God, devotional time. And I think you just mentioned this, but it's in Matthew 6:6 when it talks about, you know, not having like showy prayer or not praying just so other people can see you. But it says in my translation, it says, but when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. And I think that's a super important thing, is to not taint this and to not make it religious, to not make it, to not pray to God and not spend time with him just so other people can see you. I think this is all about our personal relationship with God and things that other people won't see. And, you know, I think it's really special that, like, I've had moments with God all alone that nobody else knows about, and that have been way more powerful than any moment I've had with other people. And I think that really makes my relationship with God special, and like it makes me really value it. Yeah, I kind of lost my train of thought there, but I think just taking my time with God in private and you know, bringing it out into my daily walk is something I've been learning. I know there's definitely times where, like, I'll just play worship music in the car and I really feel his presence. And there's times where I just have really spiritual conversations, whether it be with, like, a coworker or a friend or a family member. And I feel God's presence in that. And I think there's moments and spurts throughout my day where I'll feel that, but I'm still really working on, like, how do I invite God into every single moment? And it's tough because, like, there's some days where I spend time with God and I feel his presence really strongly. And then later in the day, I just don't really feel that close to him, and it's just a battle, and it's something I'm learning. And I think that's part of a relationship, is just, you know, figuring it out as you go. And, I guess that's something I'm working on. I don't really have all the answers to that, so
that's a lot to chew on from what you shared. And thank you for also bringing up that scripture and sharing with us from that scripture. And helps me transition into, you've mentioned, like, a couple of times you read your Bible, you listen to the music, or you play a guitar. So that transitions into the next question I would like to ask, which is, like, that you as a person, what are your typical activities that you carry out in your quiet time or in your personal devotion? And by extension, what are the spiritual activities that you think or that you feel that God really wants us to prioritize in our quiet time? Because I, for example, don't know how to play the guitar. All right. So, like, what are, like, the major things that I should focus on when I'm in my quiet time or in my personal devotion with God?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that are highlighted in scripture, and at least for me, it's for sure the one I think of is, like, scripture. Like, there's so many scriptures that say, like, obey my commands.
Yeah.
Write your commands on your heart. And it also just says, like, just meditate on the scriptures. And there's also, the second point would be prayer is super essential too. It talks about, like, when you go to your Father in prayer, not if you go to your Father in prayer.
So, yeah.
Scripture, reading scripture and praying are two essential things. Something else I think about too is, I can't remember what scripture it is, but it talks about, like, sing spiritual songs to each other and encourage each other with hymns.
Yeah. And
I don't know if that's more in a sense of personal relationship with time with God or, like, as a group setting. I really enjoy doing it alone. So that's why I incorporate it into my time. So I'd say for sure reading scripture and prayer are two essential things that everyone should be doing as a Christian. And then I think another thing I just like to do is worshiping and singing and playing guitar and music to God. Typically, I'll start out just praying. I just go to my desk that I'm sitting at now, and I'll put on, like, some background music. Nothing with lyrics, just kind of, like, sound, almost like white noise. And I'll honestly just, like, lay face down on my desk for sometimes, like, an hour, and just, like, listen to God and talk to him about what's on my heart. And even if I can only do that in a day, like, I feel so much lighter, and I feel so much closer to God. And then after that, I typically go into just reading scripture. Right now, I read a proverb a day. So here's a trick for someone who's looking to get into scripture. You know, there's 31 proverbs. There's 29 to 31 days in a month. If you just do a proverb a day, you go through the whole book of Proverbs in a month, and you can just do it every month. So at a bare minimum, I try to do that. And then I also pick some Old Testament scripture to go through, some New Testament scripture to go through. And then if I'm reading scripture with anyone else, maybe I'm discipling, that I'll go through that as well. But right now I'm reading through Proverbs, and then I'm reading through Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And then New Testament, what am I at now? I just started a new one. New Testament, I'm doing Colossians right now. So I usually read like a few chapters at most from each of those. So I typically like to keep them kind of short, but I like to make them very valuable. So I'll read through scriptures really slowly and really mull over them and try to get everything out of them that I can, and try to really listen to every verse and see if God's speaking to me through any of those verses. So I try to take it slowly with those, with reading scripture. And I think reading scripture is a practice that we learn with time, how we like to do it, how we learn from the scriptures. Everyone's really just got to try it and discover it for themselves. I really don't have a formula for how to do it. Everyone reads differently. That's just how humans are. And then the last thing is just like with worshiping. I love just like finger picking my guitar and like just randomly playing songs that come to mind. And sometimes I'll do it for a few minutes, sometimes I'll do it for hours, and it really just depends on the day when I'm feeling it. Every day I spend time with God, I don't really have a plan going into it. It's just I show up and I'm like, okay, do I feel like praying? Do I feel like reading scripture? Do I feel like worshiping? It's something I just learn with time. And yeah, I don't know. I'd say just try it. That's all I can really say. So.
That's awesome. Also, like, what's your opinion about using like extra biblical material, like spiritual literatures, like really Christian literatures, or like audio messages, audio podcasts, or what's your opinion about it, including that in your quiet time?
Yeah, I think those things can be really beneficial when used properly. And I know I've read like spiritual books before that have really helped me understand certain topics. But at the end of the day, I think scripture needs to be our primary source of how we get information. I don't want to rely on someone else's interpretation of the gospel. And I don't want to feed off of that, because if they're wrong, then I'm wrong too. So I think scripture absolutely needs to be the foundation of how we learn God's word. And I think we can find sources we trust and people who interpret things well, but I think we always need to weigh those things against what scripture actually says and interpret it with the help of the Holy Spirit to determine if that's true or not. Like the Bible talks a lot about, like in the end times, there's going to be false prophets and people who twist God's word. And I think we do need to be careful about that. I think we will find sources over time that we trust, and like pastors that we trust who can, and books that we trust, and authors who can help us interpret God's word. But at the end of the day, that should never be your only source of spiritual nourishment. Like scripture should always be first, and then if you have time for other things, throw those extra podcasts and books in there and all that. I think those can definitely be really helpful if used properly.
Oh wow, interesting stuff. Thank you so much. You talked about you've really shared a lot with us today. We're like I'm personally like I'm learning a lot from the things that you've shared with us so far, so good. And talking about resources and stuff. And so personally, I've experienced like So I'm going to share two things now. Like, I don't know if that resonates with you. Sometimes you're currently like going through a particular part of the scriptures, and it seems like the Lord is like speaking to you in a particular direction of your life. And then you go to church on Sunday, and then you hear a pastor talking, and you find him talking about that exact same scripture sometimes, or like talking about that exact same line of thoughts that the Lord was talking to you about or has been talking to you about in the course of the week. I don't know if that resonates with you. And so what does the role of like going to church does what's the role of like going to physical church does should having a quiet time replace going to church physically?
No, I don't think it should ever replace going to church. I think both those things are necessary because, it tells us to have personal time with God, but we're also commanded to love one another, encourage one another, build one another up. We're called to meet with other believers. So church is absolutely necessary if you're a Christian, because we're the body of Christ. And that means there's different people working together to represent Christ in this world. And it's important that we remain with those people and encourage them. Talk about what you said. Like I've had so many moments where God will reveal certain things to me, like in my alone time with Him, and then through other people. And it's confirmation of what He's saying, and it's really cool and just like mind blowing when God speaks in that way. I remember the first time I kind of had something like that happen. Was that summer I was starting to read scripture. And, it was like the Bible at verse of the day was this one scripture. It talked about, releasing any extra baggage that trips us up. And then I opened my Bible that day, and that was literally the first scripture that I read. Like that was the scripture I was on, like that was going through the Bible on. Out of the whole Bible, that was like the one verse, and it happened to be the verse of the day on the Bible app as well. And I was like so blown away by it. But I really thought about it, like, is God like speaking something to me through this? And I felt like he was. I felt like he was telling me to, forgive myself for the life I lived before Christ. And I think from that moment I found a lot of like peace and forgiveness because I was seeking that through God's word. And he gave that to me and gave that confirmation to me, which was awesome. And that's only one of like thousands of moments I've had like that. So I'm not gonna go into like detail with that, but it's really cool when you see God speak to you like that, and it's just really powerful. Do you have any specific moments like that where God's like giving you confirmation through your personal time with Him, and then maybe through somebody else as well?
Yeah, like a lot of like scenarios like that, where for example, what I learned from church on Sunday, Pastor Nathan was talking about and what he was talking about from John 22 was what I was writing a book about. I started discovering God's purpose for your life, and it just helped me to get more insight into what I was writing, and so I had to like go revisit the chapter and then add a few things to that. And it's really amazing because a lot of Christians like make this mistake of saying, oh, Christianity is personal, and so it's as long as I am good, as long as I have like relationship with God, as long as I still pray and do other stuff, I don't need to go to church anymore. And I think that I don't know if this applies, if you resonate with this as well. Like going to church or attending like not just church now, like small group meetings with like friends and spiritual activities like that has a way of enhancing your zeal. I don't know if like I kind of like struggle more when I don't attend like midweek services or like attend church on Sundays. I kind of like struggle more that week to like have or enjoy my quiet time, or like have like, and so like it seems like there's so much wisdom that God is like showing us in bringing up the idea of a local church, of being submitted, of attending a local church. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think being a part of the church is super important, and I'm a huge advocate for being in a church, being in small groups, and everything like that. My 4 years at college here, I was actively involved in like a small group Bible study from the moment I got here, and it was so awesome because I got to walk through life with people who are at the same point of life as me, trying to pursue God at the same time, and just being able to learn from their lives as well. Like that helped me in so many ways, and their wisdom too was super applicable to me. Proverbs as well says like there's victory with many counselors, and having those people in my life to give me wisdom and counsel me and encourage me, that's helpful, and that's a gift from God as well that we shouldn't deny it. Like if God's placed those people in our lives to encourage us, it'd be foolish of us to say, no, I don't want to spend time with them. I want to spend time with God. Well, God's like, I sent you those people to spend time with, so spend time with them. And I've heard this said before. This isn't my wisdom, but we had a pastor at Chi Alpha here, our campus ministry. He gave a sermon a few years ago, but it's such a powerful point. And it re really resonated with me. And he said that we serve a God of infinitely many characteristics. And since humans are made in God's image, each of us have a unique characteristic of God that nobody else has. So, Victor, you have a characteristic of God because you're made in his image that nobody else in this world has. So if I refuse to meet with people, I'm only withholding God's image from myself. And if I refuse to like spend time with you, I'm never going to know that part of God that it's represented and reflected in you. So I think it's super important to spend time with the people around us because it's the body of Christ, and like we're made in God's image, and by knowing the people around us, we're going to know God more. And yeah, I really think that's a huge part of it. And just like there's so many scriptures too that just say like I touched on it already, but like love one another, bear each other's burdens, and also make disciples of all nations. Like if we're doing a lone wolf Christian life, we're never going to do any of those things, and therefore we're going to be disobedient to what God's telling us to do. So I think quiet time and church are both necessary. I think personally, like God does speak to me more through that quiet time, but just because he speaks to me more through that quiet time doesn't mean that the church time is not as it's not important. I think it's super important. And I've learned a lot about God through church and through small groups and all that. So I'm a huge advocate for both of those things.
Well, why? Thank you so much for your insight. And so we're about rounding up, and I'll just like to also ask, just to round up, why is having a quiet time, so why is it a necessity for a Christian? Why can't we just go to church, read the Bible once in a while, pray once in a while, pray only when we have needs, pray only when life is tough, or just call our pastors when life is tough and get them to pray for us? Why is it a necessity for us to pray to God every day, to read our Bible every day, to have personal time with God every day? Why is it so important? Why is it so necessary?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons. And the first one, I mean, we kind of already talked about a lot was like it just says so in God's word. Like if God tells me to spend time with him, I need to do it. It's what he's commanded of me. And just another thing too is like I feel like there's a lot of people in the world who claim to be Christian, but they don't have any personal relationship with God. Like they don't spend time with him. They just go through the motions of going to church, only praying when they need him. And that's I don't know, when we do that, like we're selling ourselves so short of what God has given us and the blessings he's given us through time with him. And I think too, like if every Christian lives a life like that, like we're walking in disobedience to God, and we're never going to see like God's purpose fulfilled in our lives and in the world, because we're not being obedient. We're not stepping out. We're not spending time with him and really finding out what will is for our life and what the direction is for our life. So I it's really unfortunate that, you know, this personal relationship with God thing, like this abiding with him thing, is something that's so often overlooked, because I think it's the most important thing of our walk with God, and I think it's the most foundational thing of our relationship with God. But I think over the years, the enemy's really distorted that and allowed Christians to become comfortable without it. And I think if we want to see God's kingdom work on this earth, and if we want to see revival in the lost people of the world, I think we need to start just by spending time with God. He's going to reveal the answers there. I think it's just super important for that. If we love him, we should want to spend time with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really my two cents on that. So.
Thank you so much, Ethan. It's been a pleasure, you know, hearing from you, and you know, getting God's wisdom, you know, from you. And it's been a really like nice time. I have like my notes full here. I have like things jotted out, where you spoke about, in your quiet time, three major things that I want to think I draw out from your experience in your quiet time is how that the word of God, you let the word of God speak to you directly, you know, when you read your scriptures, and you just let, you know, the word of God speak to you directly. And then how that you feel alone with God when you do your quiet time. It's kind of like it's just you and God, you know, in those moments. And the third thing that I also learned is like how it transforms you, how doing that, observing your quiet time, and not just doing it as a religious obligation, but now doing it as something that is important, that is a necessity for you to grow as a Christian, and how that has transformed you. And I remember I cited examples of how it helps you, you know, to produce more, you know, when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, peace, joy, and the rest of it. And these are really profound truths that you have shared with us here. And I've really like just gone through like a lot of questions here that I had prepared, and you've really like nailed it. And on this note, I would like to ask, like, what are your thoughts that you'd like to just chip in on this topic, on this subject, or because there are going to be like people that are going to listen to you, what would you like to share with them?
Yeah, I guess any final thoughts I maybe have would just be like, I know it's intimidating, and I know it's kind of a lot to just start spending time with God, and you're not going to figure it out right away. And that's okay. It's not a problem. My encouragement to that would be just spend time with him. Just send it and do it. And as you do it, you're going to learn more about God and about your relationship with him. And it's just going to come more naturally with time. And I think as you do it too, you'll realize that it's way more rewarding than you ever could have imagined it to be. That's something I noticed in my life. I noticed God spoke to me in so many powerful ways that I never thought were even possible. And that'd be my encouragement to someone who's looking to get started with that. And I guess that's what I'd have on that.
Thank you so much, Ethan, Greg. Thank you so much for making out time to join us here on the Carry Schools podcast. Really, honored to have you here. Ethan is a very good believer, I can say that for sure, and someone who I just really commend his heart for God. Thank you so much for those final thoughts. Thank you so much for those answers. And I was personally really blessed as a result of that. And would be ending the session on these notes. Thank you so much, Ethan. I hope that you have a wonderful day ahead. And do you mind just praying for us?
Yeah. And thank you, Victor. I just want to say thank you as well. It blessed me to be here and talk with you. I just feel encouraged to be spending time with you. And just anyone who's listening, Victor is an awesome dude who is super attentive to God's will and his voice. And, you know, if you're listening to Victor, you're listening to the right guy. So just encourage you guys to listen to him. But yeah, I'd love to pray. So, Father, thank you so much for just this encouraging conversation, and I just pray that it can bless anyone who listens to it. And I just pray, Lord, that as a church, that we can just learn to spend more time with you individually. And I just pray that through that, we can just see you work through our lives, and we can just see more fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And God, I just pray for anyone who's maybe scared or intimidated to start spending time with you, that you can just help them make that decision with ease. Lord, you talk about how your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And I pray that they can experience that as they spend personal time with you. And I just pray that just following you can become way less intimidating as they spend time with you. So thank you, God, for this conversation. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that teaches us everything, gives us all wisdom. For all these things in your name, God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ethan.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were blessed. If you would like to share your testimonies with us or request for counseling or prayers, or you have questions about what you just heard or other Christian subjects, or you just want to make more inquiries about Carrie's Folks, feel free to reach us through our website, carriesfolks.org, or send in your email at hello@carriesfolks.org. Jesus loves you.